And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 100 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. And T-Rex, got a cool guest on today. Now, we were, you know, between me and Tyler, we're thinking, okay, what are we going to do for episode 100? What can we do that's special? You know, what's kept Masters alive this long, and what keeps it fire and hot to where we always want to talk about? I mean, we, of course, will always do that, but you know what's funny? Is when we were thinking about doing a certain topic, up came something on Facebook that we've never seen before. And we've seen, you know, two of these figures and in some form, but not to this degree. So before we get to that, that's what led to me getting our special guest, Andy Yousey. Now, Andy, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Exciting to be
here. All right, now, Oh, yeah, and it's going to be great to have you. I mean, it's great having you, and especially to ask, you know, some questions. But first, I mean, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll just dig into how this all started.
Yeah. So I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I work in the animation industry, and I always grew up around art. My dad is an artist, and so I've seen a lot of toy art, a lot of production art, and just always loved whether it be action figures or animated productions, that's kind of what interested me throughout my childhood and led me to seek that out as far as work stuff. So,
and that obviously came well. Your father, you know, has done some amazing art. So I guess, you know, it just was in your blood naturally, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
Any particular things you've worked on that we might know, or?
So the series that I've been involved with the longest throughout the years on and off is it's a kids cartoon series called VeggieTales.
I'm familiar with them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked with them a little bit in Chicago. I worked with them here in Nashville. And then in the past few years, they had a revamp series under DreamWorks, and I worked on that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, that's fantastic, because I'm sure we're going to ask some other things, too, I guess, that you've mentioned that kind of stuff. But we're going to start right into this one topic. And then from there, Tyler hit you with some stuff. I will, just a lot of random things. But
sure.
Well, what happened is you posted a picture of something under the title of Lords of Power. Now, Masters of the Universe fans, some of us have seen this one image from one of the vintage mini comics. There was a gentleman, I'll be honest, I forgot his name, but I know he acquired this, I thought, through a purchase on eBay. It was some freak thing to where the cover of the Masters of the Universe mini comic, and I couldn't remember if it was He-Man and the Power Sword. I could be wrong on the exact one. It was one of the four, you know, ones that Al Kala drew. But in this panel towards the end, they referred to the Masters of the Universe as the Lords of Power. And everybody was like, well, wow, that's strange. Why did that come up and what did it mean? Well, again, me and Tyler talking about what we're going to do. And here you pop up. You come in into some of these groups and obviously to my page. And you showed some really rare, weird cell slides things of the figures when they were called Lords of Power. And we got to see Beastman, Merman, He-Man, Man-at-Arms, Skeletor. I think it just said Skeletor twice. I'm just excited. I'm giddy. We've seen the Battle Ram. We've seen Battle Cat and I think Castle Grayskull. But the thing was, I don't think anybody's ever seen Beastman or Merman, and I don't think Man-at-Arms. I think we've seen He-Man and Skeletor. So how did this all come about? Because I'm sure your dad has told you stories. What made you pop these up out of all these years?
Yeah.
Go.
So this is the device right here that those slides came from. And I've had this since I was my dad had it for an illustration job that he did when I was a kid. And when he was done with it, he passed this along to me. But this was his reference. It's kind of like a ViewMaster. You hold it up to the light and look through it, and then it advances little photo slides in here. So this is from a photo session that Mattel did with the prototypes. And so these slides, along with some of those prototypes, ended up at our house as my dad was illustrating, because this was a job before any of the Masters line came out in stores.
And right.
So So as reference, he had these things and he showed it. He showed me first these pictures, and I was a 6-year-old kid.
Okay.
But the viewer fascinated me. I liked holding it up to the light, like my ViewMaster toys, and the characters looked really cool. You know, the Lord, until this stuff hit Facebook, I didn't really even know what the Lords of Power reference was. It just said that on one of them. Uh-huh. So one slide said Lords of Power. There was another one in there that had the Masters of the Universe logo. So they had figured out the final title by that point. But yeah, that first slide says Lords of Power. And the thing that led to me posting it, I didn't think this was a big deal. I figured those photos would be something that all you guys would have seen at some point. The power went out, and I was using my iPad as a light, the flashlight app, and I kind of thought, huh, I bet that would work as a makeshift light table. So these are the only old fashioned slides I have. So I took some of those out and I laid them out on my iPad screen and took pictures of them with my phone, and I threw those up on Facebook and shared them first just on my Facebook and then on some of the Masters sites, and man, then everybody went crazy with their replies. And I didn't know it was such a big deal or such a rare thing,
you said you even tried to Google search and nothing came up because you figured, hey, these things are something everybody's seen.
Right. And so, yeah, I started doing Google searches for Masters of the Universe prototypes and Mattel photo sessions. And I couldn't find them anywhere. I found a lot of other cool images and stuff, but nothing like these. And so yeah, I posted it, and sure enough, all you guys replied. So
yeah, I mean, as you've seen, it was hot. Once it went to one page and then posted somewhere else, I mean, it just spread like wildfire. And I know you were contacted by tons of people because you just, you know, just like we always say, just when you think you've seen it all, you haven't. Something else comes out. And like, whatever made you do that and pull these out and look at it, I mean, just thank goodness you did. But I mean, there's tons more things we'll ask. But Tyler, you got anything you would hit them with, you know, because, you know, we're going to ramble back and forth.
I guess, were you aware of the gradual process of the kind of changes that were being made with this toy line based on the work that your dad had been doing? Like, are you constantly seeing updates with his work that he brings home, and is it evolving?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot. I think these slides and some of the figures, and then they had definitely, I don't remember seeing this, but somehow they had definitely given him updates of what some of the characters looked like. Actually, I have one of his pieces up here.
I was going to say, yeah, if you pull that down, because you said that is, I mean, well, now some people should recognize that because that was one of the store banners that they used. So we've never known who drew it, though. So now we know it's your dad. And that's, his name is John?
Yes, John Yousey.
Okay.
Is that showing up?
It's a little glare, but you could probably come even a little closer for some fans. Let's see.
I can do a pan here. So Castle Grayskull and Skeletor, He-Man and Battle Cat. We've got the final logo there. Battle Ram and Man-at-Arms, Beast Man, Merman. And as you can see, like that is a closer Beast Man to what came out. That Merman is still one of the older versions. So yeah, they did get them updates on some of the stuff, but other things are like that Castle Grayskull is still based on the prototype, and you know, certain details with Skeletor is somewhere in between that prototype and the final one. There's some things that resemble both of them.
And those are definitely, I mean, obviously, those are the figures that your father was given, and everything as reference, from Battle Ram to Battle Cat to Castle Grayskull. Those are them right there. So it's just perfect what he did. Now, do you remember, I mean, has he mentioned to you, did he ever do any other type of art for any other banners or anything that he can remember?
So I know that he did a number of, at the time, they may still call them these. He said that he did a lot of shelf talkers and end caps for toys. So he worked for a he worked for some companies in Chicago that were toy developers, Marvin Glass and Gordon Barlow. He said, now before the He-Man stuff, the regular stuff that he did, there would be engineers that invented tech for toys. So there was tech like one of them, it barely came back to me when he started telling me about it. I don't remember a lot about it, but like wall crawler toys. And at some point he did stuff for Marvel. I remember he did a Doctor Doom vehicle with this big tread wheel.
Oh, Secret Wars, the Doom Cycle, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah. And so engineers would invent the tech for these things to work, and then my dad would illustrate kind of the creative design and sometimes the world that it took place in. Sometimes I had that figured out. So it was different levels of the tech would be the technical sides of what made the mechanisms work would be presented to him, and then he would kind of design the art and the look of something. And sometimes he was saying that sometimes he would go to their headquarters. He would go in a room with black sheets, and they would uncover whatever the tech was, and he would have like 2 hours to come up with some creative drawings and add some color to something, and then they would take that prototype tech and his illustrations and board a plane to Japan and bring it over there for further development or something like that. And so it was some of that stuff that he was doing that eventually landed him the Masters of the Universe job. I'd have to talk to him to find out more about what some of those products were. In fact, I'm going to be out there for Thanksgiving. And I think after that, he and I are going to look together and see what we can dig up and find from some of his older files.
You might find some more treasures, but go ahead, Tyler, hit him with another.
I guess how long did your dad work on the line as this kind of illustrator? Was it just in the beginnings of it, and then he moved on to other work with Mattel or other companies, or?
So he did for Masters of the Universe. He did 3 different illustrations, and they were all at slightly different times and for different purposes. This one that I showed was that's the first one, and Joe, you said you've seen pictures of that display actually put together, which I don't know if I've seen that before.
I've seen the one that you're holding right there, which almost looks, I think, exactly like how a lot of fans had it, to where if it was like that shelf talker display thing, it slides into a thing. I was thinking that maybe your father possibly drew which. Okay, there's sometimes those drawings that then got turned into those big 3D puffed out type of displays, if you know what I mean. And I was thinking, I wondered if he illustrated them, but then maybe they took that and then did the 3D effect, because those all snap in. Because what's strange, sure enough, that had Beast Man, Merman, Man-at-Arms, Skeletor, He-Man, and it even had, out of all things, like you had that one image from the Lords of Power thing where it just showed the logo and the burst. Sure enough, would you believe one of the things that was in 3D was that burst too? So that's why I can't wait till you find whatever else your dad has, because, I mean, did he ever sign any of the art? Like, you know, I know some artists back then, they would put their signature, but did he get credit from anything?
He didn't get to sign anything, no. That all depends on what the art was for. He did other types of art for different commercial reasons that he was able to sign. Like all of his pinball back glasses have a signature on them, so you can see it on that. But nothing for like toy boxes, or he did some stuff for Atari, like the original Atari. Was that the 2600? He did some stuff for that, and we were like the first people in our neighborhood to have one of those. But I don't know if that was for its initial release or a re-release or what. But anything for a toy or a game or something, no, his signature won't be on that. It's pretty much, you know, signing off. In fact, he was telling me for a lot of it, especially the high pressure stuff that he had to do and sign over, it was pretty much one time cash on delivery and then, you know, on to whatever was next. And so with the He-Man stuff, I know he had he did that from home. He did that from his home studio. So that wasn't like a high pressure, do it in a short amount of time. He got some reference and he was able to sit down and draw that out and then paint it. And most of his paint at the time was for these kind of illustrations were airbrush. He did airbrush art.
Okay.
In fact, one of his, I don't know this from him. I actually know this from other coworkers that I've worked with who know about my dad. Some of my coworkers through the years know of my dad, and they were like, he was known as the airbrush king of Chicago. And I was like, really? So yeah, now, as far as how long, I'd really have to ask him. I mean, I was a six-year-old kid for that first one. I just knew that I loved looking at the images and then obviously now the pictures that this we got to keep, but any other reference that he got and any figures had to be shipped back to Mattel. So
yeah, that was pretty much going to be another question like, oh dear God, do you still have those things? I mean, cause if you did, holy.
Well, no, but I was excited about it and I knew it was coming out. And so I talked about it and at school and stuff. And so, you know, people would be, sometimes kids would talk about their favorite toys and mine was always this toy that didn't exist yet.
Yeah,
was like, this is my favorite toy and it's not out yet, but it's coming out. And I probably sounded like a crazy kid.
Yeah, they probably all thought you were insane. Like, oh yeah, sure, there's this make-believe line. But, and then it happens. And see, that's what I mean. That's why when I told everybody, I was like, we're going to be talking with somebody that experienced Masters before anybody. And you did. You experienced it when it was even slightly Lords of Power. So, now I know, like you said, you're going by your memory from a lot of those things. Like, you got to experience playing with the toys. I'm hoping... Yeah. Maybe there's one thing you might remember, maybe you don't. But an early drawing of Skeletor in concept form showed that his Havoc staff at the top was originally going to have, like, it could pop off and have a string to where the Havoc staff could come off and it would still be hooked on a string. Do you remember if it maybe had that feature, or that's really hard to think?
That sounds really cool, but no, I don't think I ever saw anything like that.
Okay. I knew I was grasping for a straw there. I was like, but you never know. Sometimes things will stick in your head. But yeah, I just had to ask that one. But go ahead, Tyler.
Did you get to see the prototypes in, I mean, like face-to-face, like with your dad, you know, working on this stuff? Like, were you able to at least examine them or even hold them and look at them like, oh, wow, these are coming out? I mean.
He let me play with them. So,
yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. I would go down in his studio and I would play with them. And I think... I think I snuck my next door neighbor Joe down there to show him as well. I don't think my dad knew about that because we weren't supposed to show people. Oh, but wow. My best friend Joe, who he understood my excitement about these toys, and we collected them together and everything up through when they stopped that initial line. So yeah, I let him in on an early glimpse of what my dad was working on and. And then, I the ones that he had, I played with those. I don't remember how much longer this was, but it was a later release whenever Manny Faces came out.
In 83.
Okay. So my dad did some promo art around the Manny Faces release. And so you're not going to believe this, like, right around, it would be 9 o'clock, your guys' time, just about a half hour ago, my dad texts me and he says, look what I just found.
Oh,
and
no.
Joe, I'll send this to you because it's going to look horrible at this, but he sends me, a picture of his pencil art from this Manny Faces job.
Oh my gosh.
And it's really detailed. So like when you see a good version of it, you'll see the other characters in the background. The face is left blank because he drew, and eventually this got painted and it was a colored poster. I don't know what the final, and I talked to my dad, we don't know exactly what the final use was for that, but as a kid, it looked like a life-size image of a full, you know, man-sized Manny Faces. And then each of the three faces were along the side. And so if it was a poster, if it was, I mean, we had versions of it like a poster. So if that's how it was given away as like a promo thing to build excitement. You
See,
could cut out the faces.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here right now trying to think of that. I was like, I don't remember an actual poster. I mean, but I mean, that's off the top of my head. There could be, but what I do remember was when they had sometimes a little promotion about Manny Faces, and I think maybe somebody was talking about the Manny Faces where you could get it, and he was going to have the different looks. I mean, not the different looks, but the different weapons. But I wasn't sure when that came out because they kind of nicknamed it Manny Weapons. But that might not be it. What you're showing, I don't have a clue. But I'm telling you, your dad better get prepared. You better get prepared because you already know people are going to be contacting you, especially after showing that and whatever else you showed. As you know, and you got to let your dad know, the art of Masters of the Universe is just as hot as the toys and other merchandise. We clamor. We want it badly. We especially want to know sometimes who was the person that drew this, because as you said, a lot of the artists never did have their name or signature or anything. But once they find out who it is, they're always going to be contacted. They want to know what else you do. Did you find any other treasures? And heck, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody says, would you like to do something again for maybe, promote the classics line online, or heck, not even commissions. But oh my God, Jesus. So now you found that. So it makes you think, what else does your father have?
Well, and with that Manny Faces, that was another one where they shipped us the prototype of Manny Faces, and the color scheme was pretty different. Like it was anything that's orange on the final was flesh colored on this one. And anything that was purple on the final was like a bright orangey red. And the knob on the top, I remember, was very different. And so, although when the final came out with that, it was still pretty close. Like I wasn't disappointed with that. I remember as a kid getting mad at how simplified the final Castle Grayskull looked, because they removed some of the boulders that were jutting out that you could put figures on and
you got to play with that too. You got to play with Castle Grayskull also, correct?
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Look at this guy. One of a kind. That's definitely, like you said, just you're somebody that got to experience it in a way nobody else did. But I'll get you again, but go ahead, Tyler, if you got something else.
Just the facts he's telling me, I'm kind of left stunned right now, knowing. I mean, I just never had occurred to me that the idea that, other than like the test kids that are used to play with toys for the executives to kind of get an idea, okay, boys like this toy, they like that guy, let's go with that. But to be aware of this coming down and you're getting to examine everything before ever is finalized, you're seeing all these prototypes, and it's just, I mean, I'm kind of left, you know. I'm trying to wrap my head around you playing with Castle Grayskull and it's I'm losing my train of thought here. I don't know what to say to that, like, now, because it's so I envy your experience to have seen this stuff, and I could definitely imagine. I wasn't one of those kids that got pissed off when I saw, like, on the back of the mini comics, your description of Manny Faces sounds very similar to the Crossout artwork,
right?
And I mean, to me, it looked great when I finally got one. It looked more like Filmation, which I was cool with. But is that the version of Manny Faces you're kind of describing?
That color layout fits more.
Did he look like that? Because I've seen a prototype picture of Manny Faces online where he's, you know, the essence is there, but he looks completely different visually. But it's still kind of there. Is that, or did it look pretty much like that prototype? Not the artwork, but I mean, it looked just like a spinning image of the artwork. Like, did it?
I'd have to see the. I don't remember.
Could you see his eyes actually in the? Because like on the vintage figure, his eyes are white. They're solid white. But on the cross cell, you can actually see his pupils and everything. So is that? It's a minor detail, but I was just curious because that's what the cross cell would look like.
There were things that were slightly different about the faces, and I can't remember in detail what they were. There were slight details like that, but I'm not sure if it was exactly what you're describing.
Wow. Yeah, because
exterior of Castle Grayskull, what was different from the outside? I mean, was the interior different from what you got to experience as opposed to what the market got?
I don't know if what we had had a interior figured out. In fact, it may have just been the half with the face.
Oh, okay.
I just remember that front outside, and I don't remember the inside until the final toy came out. So,
yeah, but there were bolters that you could remove from the exterior of Castle Grayskull for the figures to stand on or throw at, or.
Well, the only thing I remember about standing on is there were more boulders and things jutting out in the front that you could put them on. Like there was a big boulder jutting out at the base of one of the towers, and you could set a character on that. There were more features that looked like they could, you know, I used to imagine them climbing up it. Just with the different features that were sticking out of it, with the rocks and gotcha. And ledges and stuff. So,
yeah, because I was going to say, looking also beyond Castle Grayskull, I think when we seen the picture of that battle ram that you showed along with Battle mm-hmm. Cat, battle ram, at least it looked like that was real early. Where I'm sure that firing missile mechanism probably did not work. At least that's how it looked from your picture. But do you
right.
remember
now. The battle ram, I don't think we had that in prototype.
Oh, okay.
I think the battle ram, we only had photos of that. Because I don't remember ever seeing that until the actual release, and we started getting the toys to keep. So
do you remember if you had Battle Cat? Because that almost looked like it was sculpted on that face, at least that little picture you showed. It looked like the mask might have been right on it.
I don't think we had that one either. I only remember that early stuff being the figures and the castle.
Okay, yeah, because I'm just trying to think of everything that you possibly could have experienced, you know.
Right.
And now, and again, you said, you know, in November you guys will be doing some more cleaning and looking around.
Yeah.
We look forward, obviously, to seeing what you have then too, so we could show that and share it on Facebook, and of course, maybe we could even do another revisit here on the podcast. Because I mean.
Quit lock him down for the sequel already before you done. Are you making yourself available for that, Andy?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. All right.
I was going to say, what about your dad, too? Has your dad ever thought of doing a podcast or doing any interaction? Because he's going to have to get ready. Like I said, you know,
yeah,
you
yeah.
and him are going to be contact after. I guarantee it.
Yeah. He's never done a podcast, but he's very used to doing talks, especially through the pinball community, because like people like pinball collectors love his art, and then just at you know, he goes to a lot of pinball expos and talks about the machines, and even in his retirement, he's still involved with one of the studios or one of the pinball studios that's still manufacturing games for pinball collectors, and so. So he's still working on some new things for gaming art.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, as Tyler noticed, he pointed out from the Adams Family picture in the background, you might have to tour us on some of the pinball art if that's all pinball art
yeah,
out there.
Well, I only have a few pieces on this wall, but yeah, he did the Adams Family pinball machine, so that's all his illustration. He did a pinball machine called Jokers. Had a kind of a poker and royal family with jokers running around.
Oh, cool.
All right.
And then he did one called Whitewater. So rafting theme. And I don't have any of these down here, but one of the fun little trivia things about some of the pinball machines is sometimes my dad would paint myself and my brother into the pinball machine. So there's pinball machines
oh,
out
cool,
there
man.
Where we're characters on it. The most famous example of that, there's a pinball called Funhouse, and it's kind of a carnival theme with a talking ventriloquist dummy that kind of takes over, and that character, Rudy the dummy, my brother posed for all of the poses that Rudy is in, and a lot of it is kind of a fun caricature of my brother. I posed for like some skateboarding ones. There's a Twilight Zone pinball machine where I posed as Rod Serling, and
You
it's
do.
Rod Serling's head, but it's my body.
What you gotta find? You're gonna definitely have to find that image online or something. I'd love to see that because I think I
The
remember.
one with Rod Serling standing in the doorway, and you got like the
Yeah.
room. Oh,
Yes.
man.
Yeah.
This is
And
smart.
my dad had it in his contract that any game that he worked on, we got. So our basement was like an arcade.
Do you still have any of the
Yeah.
machines?
What's that?
Do you still have any of those pinball machines?
I don't hear, but out at my parents' house, they've got some. Yeah.
Which ones of the like did other movie theme ones did he do? Because his artwork, it looks, I mean, like I'm looking at the Addams Family, it looks like I've seen that style on other machines as well.
Okay, so he did Gilligan's Island, so TV show, not movie. I'm trying to remember if he did. I know he's done some other movies. I know he did. I can't think of any in that style, but there probably is. I'm probably just not remembering them. I know between pinball machines and then also there were some slot machines and ticket redemption games. He did something with Shrek, and several animated stuff. So he did something with The Simpsons, something with Family Guy, Looney Tunes, a lot of that kind of stuff.
You know, when you're
Other
telling me
movie ones aren't coming to me at the moment,
yeah,
but.
it's just, I'm just, like I said, dumbfounded about everything from Masters to all these other posters and things that he did for pinball machines. But you said he still currently does stuff. I would hope, and I am going to try to pass info along to some other, people. Hopefully he could be contacted to do something for current stuff, because this is what I always love. I always love it when we find out these artists that did stuff from things we didn't know. And that they could still possibly do it now. Now that Masters is hopefully, hot at least in the collector line, we're seeing different merchandise popping up at the stores. I mean, how awesome would it be that the guy who was there from the beginning when it was Lords of Power could come back and do something current? I mean, that can only be a dream for me and a lot of
Well,
Masters fans.
I'd be a really big fan of seeing my dad do some of that too. So,
Yeah, because you're
yes.
still currently, I mean, you've been a fan your whole life. You're still a
I
Masters
have.
fan.
Yes, yeah. I still have everything from the original line. I have some things from the 2000 line.
Okay.
I didn't get anywhere as close to a complete collection with that, but yeah, the originals, I still have everything. I know several people on the sites have told me I need to get them out of bins and get them on display cases because I don't have any great display cases for them. I did display them at my office, so I would cycle out which ones were on display there. And when you work in an art studio, everybody's got toys all over the place. So everybody kind of admires one another's collections. And
Right.
my first boss, now I did do some part-time work for my dad, through high school and when I was home from college. But then post-college, my first full-time job, my first boss, I didn't know this until about a couple months working with him. He was a layout artist on the original Filmation He-Man and She-Ra series. His name is Michael Spooner, and they were on a rotation with credits, so he's like in every few. You see him in there, and at the office, he pulled out a file cabinet and he showed me all the drawings that he did for the Filmation series, and so one day we traded art. I brought in some of the stuff that I illustrated as a kid, inspired by the cartoon, and he pulled out some of his original art, and we signed it for one another and traded it.
Now
So
you still have those pieces from him?
I do, yeah.
Oh God, now you're gonna have to get these on. You're gonna have to put these in frames. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, how is it you're the son of somebody who worked on it in the beginning, and then you meet your boss worked at it. That doesn't even make sense. I barely in personal life, I don't even find somebody that remembers He-Man half the time. Like, hey, remember the He-Man cartoon? What's that? It's just this is nuts.
Right.
That's Tyler, go, because I'm getting overwhelmed now because I just don't understand how this kind of luck can happen. It's fantastic, but this is nuts.
First, I got to say that the idea of being envious of kids who had Eternia as a child and I didn't is now like, you know what? I don't give a rat's ass about people who own Eternia when I'm talking to somebody who got to experience all this stuff and just to see all this stuff in its conception and just to, oh God, I mean, it just feels like there's nothing that anybody as a fan of He-Man can come up with that's better than the stories that Andy's telling us here. To be able to see this stuff before, I mean, I it's like, yeah, Joe, your story of telling that you got Eternia for Christmas, I'm like, I'm sorry, that's small potatoes comparison here. So,
I was jealous of Joe's story from a few weeks ago about going to the toy store and seeing in the toy catalog
Hero, Eldor, Gigantosaur, Titus,
the characters that were on the verge of coming out that got canceled and never came out because now I remember being on the edge of my seat with those mini comics and just so bummed when they didn't continue that and they didn't continue that story. But I never heard about what they were working on that wasn't going to come out that didn't. So that makes me jealous hearing that. It's like, oh, I missed something that I didn't know about from back then.
No, and I'm glad, see, that's funny you bring that up because I always thought, like I told Tyler, it's like, Tyler, you know, years later, people knew they did Hero and Eldor as they seen in the catalog, but I got to see when I was a kid. I don't, you know, barely anybody's seen that. It's always made me feel like, huh, look what I did. But then you're right. Look what you experienced. It's like my story is absolutely nothing. So Tyler said my Eternia story, that's out the window. And then now my scene here on Eldor before anybody else or most people, that ain't special. I'm surprised you didn't know anybody that had the original prototypes on that too.
Right, right. Well, it's funny talking to my parents too. Just recently after those pictures kind of went viral and I was talking to my dad about some of that stuff, he reminded me of some stories of just, I became so, consumed with Eternia and stories about He-Man like that. All of my free time went to some form of thinking about that or drawing that or telling stories about that or playing with the figures or role playing when we were out on a hike. And so, you know, where I grew up about 45 minutes northwest of Chicago. And it was far enough outside the cities where there was a lot of farmland, a lot of forests and ponds and just a lot of nature out there. And so our neighborhood that we lived in just had these huge fields and forests and marshes and ponds and what I used to call cliffs, but we're talking Northern Illinois cliffs, which is more like a field and a drop off and another field to a kid. That was really cool. And we would go for hikes over there. And, you know, my parents always encouraged, my using my imagination with this stuff. They fully supported it, but I know they had to get sick of it because my dad would bring me on these hikes and it was never just a hike. I would constantly narrate Eternian things going on around us. And so we'd be walking and I would be like, the Palace of Eternia is over there. And now we're entering the Evergreen Forest, but don't go in that part. Cause that's the Vine Jungle and Beastman's Beasts are over there. And we go, he would listen to this for hours.
That's great. Yeah, he probably got sick of Masters. What, maybe all his memories of anything he worked on is like, I don't even think about it. You're driving me nuts. But no, that's cool. And at least he does have still the memories of working on Masters. Because, you know, like you said, sometimes maybe it was just a quick job for somebody to do, whether it was a cover of a book or something else, you know, some random thing nobody thinks about. And maybe it was never still in their minds and their hearts. But, I mean, obviously he remembered everything he did, especially after finding, again, now Manny faces and whatever else you find. So, I mean, it's just
stuff. Now, we know there's at least, we know that there is a third project he did. And it was some kind of kids' meal promo featuring a Castle Grayskull image for, we think it was Burger King.
Yeah, they were the only ones I think that did that was Burger King. I don't think McDonald's did anything for Masters back in the 80s.
Yeah. So yeah, he did one Castle Grayskull job for Burger King, and we're not sure. I don't remember if that was art that was featured on the kids' meal itself, or sometimes the art that he did was transparencies that were backlit up next to the menu, so it was more of an ad for the kids' meal.
Well, that would be another super original thing. See, I have the boxes of all the kids' meal ones. I'll even try to scan them and show you just to see if your, you know, dad remembers those. And if they're not, that would be fantastic if he did, again, something original for that. Because there was the only thing else I remembered of Burger King, which I don't own. I seen something pop up on eBay a while ago. It was like a header, if you will, that was set on the counter. And it had unique art and talked about, you know, Masters of the Universe promotion. But it wasn't anything that was on the kids' meal boxes. It was just a stand-up display sitting there on the counter. But, yeah. I mean, from how you're describing something, that sounds like, yeah, maybe that could be something that was transparent for the backlit part, possibly. Now, like you said, you don't know if he still might have that when you go through all your stuff. Is that maybe something he has?
Maybe, yeah. So the unfortunate thing is like all three of those Masters pieces were in the early 80s. And he told me that he didn't get a great filing system for his original art and like copies of it and the purchase orders until around 1984 or 85. And so it's somewhere in those stacks of things that were never as organized in his earlier days before he had to get, you know, serious about his filing and
well, we're going to be patiently and impatiently waiting for this stuff because, you know, we're all going to go insane. Everybody's going to want to see it because, again, once it pops up, like I said, you get prepared, your father get prepared, you know you're going to be contacted by a lot of people. It just would be great, like I said, just to see him, you know, return to Masters again. But, Tyler, I was going to say, if you want, why don't you hit him with another question and I'll hit him with one more thing before we wrap it up. But if you got something else for him.
I'm curious to know what other characters you got to come across during this time. Like, was it just the first two waves of figures? Did you get to go into 84 or 85? Or was it just, you know,
And are you talking specifically about, like prototype and
yeah, prototypes. Like, what prototypes did Dad bring home? You know, was it just the first wave of figures and then...
It was just that first wave, and then whenever Manny Faces came out, it was that one. Those were the only He-Man related ones that we had early access to and hands-on experience with.
I guess what point do you come across the fact that it's this toy line that you're very familiar with? You see it in store. It's got a new logo. The characters look slightly different, if not completely different. What is that experience for you?
So, it was either my birthday or Christmas. That first wave that hit stores, my parents got for me as a gift. Do you know by any chance what time of year that first release was? Is that
first wave was in 82.
Yeah,
82, possibly 81, but people tend to lean more towards 82.
Do you know if it was Christmas season or earlier in the year?
I thought it was. The reason I'm wanting to say maybe, God, it's always been debated. I don't know if people thought it was around September, October, November. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't remember. I don't remember if it was a holiday or a special event or maybe just a gift. But I do remember. My parents getting those for me and all the excitement and the feelings of being ecstatic about having them totally overshadowed anything that was like, oh, they took that rock away or whatever on Castle Grayskull. Right. Oh, they changed that face. You know, there, I noticed differences, you know, and oh man, like I noticed differences or whether it be, you know, actual mistakes or just artistic interpretation. I would examine every mini comic, you know, and just look at at how things were represented in those. And as far as getting the toys for the first time, I noticed differences in them, but I was still so excited to have them, and it was like, are these to keep? Yes.
Yeah,
we don't have to send these back.
Right, because I would just, that's what I was thinking. I was assuming, hey, since your father worked on a lot of stuff, maybe they're going to send you free promotional figures. He'll get a lot of things. You know, I thought maybe they would be sending stuff to him.
You know, as a kid, I thought that too. Whenever he did something, he used to do stuff both for Burger King and McDonald's as far as the kids' meal materials. And whenever he did those, if we went into one of those restaurants while they were the item, I would be like, Dad, tell them you painted it. Maybe we can get it for free. And he'd be like, no, we can't do that. And I'm like, why? Can I tell them? And he's like, no.
Yeah, you know, something, I guess you're right. A kid would have in their mind and they would hope something like that could come of it. You know, because what would be more interesting too is when your father and you searched all the stuff, that would be interesting if maybe later on they did send a copy of the comic that maybe said Lords of Power in there, just for if they're, I mean, did they ever, beyond what he started off with what he did, like you said, in the Manny Faces and things, I mean, does he remember if he was ever contacted, like maybe he would do some more stuff in the future, or just, you know, I just always wonder like how sometimes what maybe stops the work that they're doing with things.
Right. I don't know that. I'd have to ask him that question. And like in the early days, he didn't know anything about Masters when he did that first job. And so it just seemed like a one-off to him. No one knew that it was going to be this huge line that went on for years and that they kept adding to. So mm-hmm. he didn't, it was another fun job for him. But man, it just captured my attention and I fell in love with it. So.
Yeah. And like you said, you got to experience it before anybody else. And that's, like I said, that's why we had to have you on the 100th episode special. I mean, it's about, you know, why we're here. And you definitely had the most unique story that I think I've ever heard of any person, from being a kid to growing up, of how you experienced Masters, because it's held you on all this time. And you got to hear this very fantastic memory and images that, you know, we'll post online for anybody that's listening if they haven't seen it before. Mm-hmm. I'll post it on the Fans of Power Facebook page and other pages, just in case people wonder, like, what is this Lords of Power reference? What are they talking about? And now they can finally see. Because I think even the merman, maybe it looked like, you know, on the back of the cross cell stuff, there was a way merman had this kind of like pose, and the way his hands was in his face. It almost looked, it maybe looked like that early prototype kind of resembled that. I can't tell, but you said
it looked more like the cross cell artwork to me.
Yeah, it did. And I wish we could have got that, because I always remembered looking at the cross cell art and then getting the figure. I was like, why does this guy look like a cat or something? I always thought Merman for me looked like a cat, not so much that amazing early prototype and what the cross cell art was. Right. So I didn't know. Yeah, I mean, that's probably a memory that probably couldn't have stuck in your head, wondering, hey, he didn't look the same, because, like you said, you were playing with him, but I'm sure everything didn't get ingrained with your brain.
Right. Now, you were asking about, you said something about if by chance I saw or had any of the early comics or write-ups that referred to him as Lord of Power. So at some point, and the answer to that is, I don't know. I do know at some point that that first, I think it was the first mini comic. Which one is the early mini comic that ends with the phrase Lords of Power?
I think it's He-Man. Power Sword. Yeah, He-Man and the Power Sword. Yeah.
Okay. So at some point late in collecting, and I know you guys are going to shake your heads at me for this, but I didn't know anything about a collector's mentality. I just knew what I was a fan of. And I looked through my mini comics at what I had multiple copies of, and that He-Man and the Power Sword, I had 8 copies of that mini comic, and I decided to throw out all the additional ones, just keep one of each mini comic. But here's the thing, and someone, one of the people that reached out to me after I posted those slides, asked me something about the mini comics, about there being different versions. And I do remember looking at that mini comic, at the various versions that I had, and in the corner there was a little phrase, and it said something different. There were like three different versions that said something different there. And I think I just went with the one that was in the best condition and threw the other ones out.
Well, hey, as long as the one you didn't throw out, which I can always show that image too, the one that has that reference of Lords of Power, you know, on the cover, it does say Masters of the Universe, but it's a completely different logo, letter, font style. It's a weird, strange way that they have Masters of the Universe. So, wait a second. That's it. You have what? I can't even talk.
Are you serious?
Wait, you go to the end. Go to the last page.
Did I recognize the logo on the cover?
I can't even speak English. Does it say? Wait, hold on. You're gonna have to speak, Andy, so it'll go close up.
The last line says, "But as he looked toward the rising sun, it seemed to be a good omen for Eternia and the Lords of Power."
Holy shit.
You have it. Yeah, I told you. I sent you my habit. You have that. Jesus. Oh, no. See, I can't calm down. Wait, Tyler, I can't talk. Because don't you get rid of that, Andy. You keep that in your collection. Unless
the
you got another one.
You got rid of. You happen to hold on to the one that was. I don't even know what you call that one. I mean, it's not a prototype. But, I mean, the only.
I don't even know what to do. I can't focus. You have it. There's only one other person I've seen that had that. That was.
Are you serious?
Yes. Oh, man. I can't. Somebody online just in the chat room, Grimbot2.
I don't want to find out that Andy sold that book to anybody.
Don't do it.
Lock it away, man.
I'm looking at the chat room. There's Grimbot2. It said Joe's going to get a stroke. Somebody's I can't. And you know what's weird is as you laughed and sat back, it would have been scarier. Would you believe I was ready to put that shirt on today? I've wore They're Not Dolls or Action Figures. That's my shirt I wear. Wait, but you got a different one. I don't have it with them images. Mine's a barbarian figure. I don't even know what to do. Why did you show that mini comic? You have it. You didn't realize you have it. Oh, my God. This is... Tyler, say one more thing to him
I think that I had multiple ones and I threw other ones out.
Oh my God. Tyler, I have to pass it to you because
thank you. A great Hollywood like movie villain for someone who says I threw away all the others and kept one for myself and then laughs at everybody else because they stand no chance in hell of ever owning a copy unless they pry it from his cold dead hands here. That's a movie villain for you, man.
Oh my God. If there's people that are watching, when they watch this later, they're going to come after you, Andy. Get ready.
Now they're going to say, the experience. I'm not surprised. It's just like, oh, you know what? I don't need these. You know, it's just, oh my God.
No, you know what? Next, we're going to find out. He's going to go to his toy box. Like, well, here's this Skeletor I got rid of, but I kept this one, and he's going to have the prototype somehow. That would be even crazier.
So I do have two different Skeletors that had different things painted differently, but
you might like just have the half boot one. I think there's like the half boot that or something where half of his boot was painted one side.
Yeah, there's that. There's some differences in the way that his belt versus his loincloth are painted. I think in one it's just all purple, and in another one parts are black and parts are purple.
I think we see it. But what you just showed everybody is just that comic, that mini comic. Go back, man. We'll have to talk later. You're going to have to go into your books and everything else and your dad. See if you might have some clothes laying around. Oh, Tyler, do you believe this? He has the comic I was talking about. That doesn't even make sense. Tyler, give one more before.
I don't think there's been too many episodes of this podcast where I'm kind of left with like, what the hell do I say now? Because I don't have a single damn word I can say right now. I kind of feel like I'm
that mini comic did it for
me. I got nothing to follow this up with.
And where to?
You know, the funny thing is, so I'm pretty new to finding out about you guys and these Facebook groups. I didn't know until about a year ago that there was this kind of interest in master stuff. So Of course, I still have all of these things, but I think the first time that it occurred to me to look for anything like, you know, you guys or these Facebook pages was, I worked very closely with a coworker named Preston, and he's a huge Star Wars fan. And so he was constantly looking at some of these Star Wars custom sites, and he's a photographer too. And so there was actually someone who took these incredible photos of they would create scenes with Star Wars figures and vehicles, and then take very dynamic photos with cool lighting and everything. And so from Preston sharing some of those things with me with Star Wars, the thought occurred, you know, man, I wonder if there's groups out there that are into this kind of stuff with He-Man that I don't know about. And sure enough, like, there's plenty of them.
I so, love it. And it's what I always say too, you know, all the fans, you know, sometimes people assume that all the Masters fans are still around and they're all in the groups. And it's like, no, I mean, something will bring them back. They're there, but something will just bring them back. And just because, like you said, you haven't been in the groups for, you know, years and years or any pages does not make you any less of a fan, because you're obviously a super fan, and you're a fan that's experienced it again in different ways. And now you have this, and that mini comic, just that's the topper, man. It's just, that's fantastic. You have so many great, rare, unique pieces that definitely treasure those. Keep that in your collection. It's just, I couldn't imagine. I absolutely can't. So before we wrap it up, I mean, Tyler, you give him some closing things before we wrap it up, because this has been a mind-blowing episode. And this is coming from two people who usually are not speechless. Tyler and I will ramble all the time. He's speechless. I stuttered like I forgot how to talk a couple minutes ago, and that's never happened. So Tyler, go ahead, man. Go ahead and give him some final question or thought.
Okay, I mean, like, go ahead with what? I mean, what am I supposed to, like, I've been upstaged by the Jerry Seinfeld here, you know? what am I going to, you know, follow this up with? I guess, just speaking from the heart, you know, I think it's really, really cool that, you know, better late than never, that you found that there's this passion for He-Man still going, and endless Facebook pages and websites and YouTube channels and stuff like that. And it's a real delight that you shared, you know, very important history, especially to us fans, but to toy fans and 80s fans as well, to have unlocked your treasure chest there and decide to share these incredible images with us. And I'm very thankful that you did, and I want to thank your dad as well for the hard work you put into it, and for sharing your memories of getting to experience this stuff firsthand. It was a real treat to hear that, and I really look forward to having you back on to get an update from stuff you found with your dad and other information. I mean, this was a real delight, and I was curious. I was like, you're on our 100th episode here. Any pressure here? It's like, now I'm like, dude, this guy is delivering all the goods, and I got nothing to bring. You know, so this could not have been more of a perfect way of capping 100 episodes by giving out these great fun secrets about the early beginnings of He-Man. So I thank you very much for that, bud.
Well, yeah, thanks for what you guys do. I feel like the prodigal fan, like returning to be in touch with other fans and stuff. But, you know, I've listening to you guys and what you talk about and seeing the chatter that comes up and all, just the amazing custom stuff that you and other people do, it rises the excitement in me all over again. I feel like a kid in a candy store seeing some of the new things being worked on, and man, that Return of Faker cartoon. I'm really excited about that. And I can't wait to see what else is in store.
No, that is. I mean, that will be great when we see that cartoon. And you're right, for me doing customs, I just always love creating something from whatever the fans are wanting, because like Masters is just so hot, and the passion's just, it doesn't seem like it ever goes away. And when they're not getting something new, they might want to just have something new created. But yeah, for you to join us for this episode, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, we've had, like, you know, a lot of people in the chat room have just been enjoying it. We had JSP, Grimbot. There's been a couple, I'm just trying to scroll up, Ink Armors here. So we've had a few people in here, and they've enjoyed, you know, listening to, you know, you speak and with your stories. And I can't thank you enough. because this made episode 100 that much more unique, special, and enjoyable, especially these experiences that we've never heard, the unique thing you showed, and to have that mini comic tops it off. That's going to be my way of promoting the episode, is you holding up that mini comic. That's how I'm going to promote it, because that's...
What Joe should do, to kind of address Joe's issue with Wonder Bread He-Man, to say, does anybody else have this mini comic and wait to see if some idiot decides to show, oh, I got it too, and holds a random copy thing, and you see, I got it too, you know, it doesn't say Lords of Power in it, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Not going to happen with many. I've only known of one person that had that. Now I know too. So, wow. I mean, yeah, definitely. Just like Tyler said, I mean, we're going to have you back on, you know, in November sometime, or after, when you and your father go through your stuff. And if your dad wants to join us also, I mean, that would be fantastic to have you both on. And just a collaboration of both of your stories and memories and everything. So, it was a pleasure having you on, Andy. I really do appreciate you joining us for this episode.
Thanks. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
All right. I will close it up with just saying, go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. And I'm still stuttered. So for Tyler, for Andy, everything, I mean, you guys have a powerful day, and thank you for joining us.
Did anybody see Scanners?
Yeah, and Tyler always ends with a riddle, and I do know that Scanners.
It's not.
A trivia question. That
it's quote. Not a trivia question either.
It's a quote. It's David Spade when he was losing his mind, and I think it was Tommy Boy. Was it Tommy Boy or Black Sheep?
Yes, it was Tommy Boy. I felt that was a proper quote giving. What Annie's told us here, I just feel like my hands are gonna explode.
I feel like I've seen Scanners. So, okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed us, and we'll see you next week. Thanks again, Andy.
Take care. Bye.
For all of you still hanging out, thanks for being here with us.